Email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We have made it to Friday, and 4th of July is just around the corner, so we want to welcome you to the Refresh radio broadcast today. My name's Bob Arthurs. Pastor Emeritus Assembly, God, been there 26 and a half years, and we later this year will be celebrating 6 years. I think I miscounted that number a little earlier in the year, but coming up in October, we will celebrate our 6th anniversary of the Refresh radio broadcast, and very thankful for the way God uses it throughout the county. It's a ministry that is brought to you by Emeritus Assembly of God. One thing that I don't apologize for is the fact that God has brought us a long ways from where we have been. And we continue to increase our level of blessing throughout the world. And in order for that to take place, we have to be blessed ourselves. And so we're very thankful. We like to live by that principle, I will bless you and make you a blessing to all nations. And we know that ultimately that took place in Abraham's life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do want to be a blessing. We never want to be a liability. And with that being said, we're going to let you know this coming Sunday, we have one of our infamous potluck dinners, our fifth Sunday celebrations that's coming up right after the worship service on Sunday morning. We do not have service on Sunday night. And then next week, because kids are away at camp and we'll be going and coming and going and coming, we are not going to be having our Wednesday night service that week as well. So from Sunday morning, our next service will be Sunday morning. We won't have early morning prayer on July the 4th. A lot of people will be going away for the holidays. And so those are some of the things that are coming up. Assembly of God, if you are planning to come visit, we would love to visit with you. We'd love to worship with you and see if God would lead you to partner with us in reaching our community with the love of Jesus Christ. One of the businesses that helps us do that is Creative AC Solutions. 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. Listen, it is really, really hot outside, and you want to make sure that your AC is operating at peak performance. Just go ahead and bite the bullet a little bit and say, you know what, my electric bill is going to go up a little bit this month. It might go up a whole bunch this month, but I will tell you what I have determined, and that is this. I would rather pay a higher electric bill than have a lower electric bill and then end up in the hospital. So if you need someone to come and take a look at your unit, do what I do. Call Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. And they will, if you're in Central Brevard County, they can come and take a look at it. And he will give you honest and valuable advice on how to proceed with your air conditioning solution. So on yesterday's program, I had referenced who will deliver me from this body of death. And I had mentioned that it was mentioned by an early church father. The earliest reference that I could find to that actually predates church fathers. It predates the church. And that is the poet Virgil, the Roman poet Virgil, who lived between 70 and 19 BC. And he puts a quote there that still worse, he bound the living to the dead. And that's in one of his poems. I didn't read the whole poem, but I did find that reference in case you were looking for that. There's lots of references to that practice if you do an internet search. And if you continue digging, you eventually get back to a source of a contemporary nature. And so I wanted to share that with you. So we are going to proceed into chapter 8 today because not because I'm trying to go through Romans verse by verse. I just want to go a little ways into chapter 8 so that you can see what life after deliverance looks like. What does life after deliverance look like? And so let's go to chapter 7, verse number 25, or verse number 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is, therefore, this is chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So I wanted to show you what this life of deliverance looks like. Chapter 8 describes an entirely victorious life, where in chapter 7, there's defeat, there's frustration, there's setbacks. And chapter 8 describes that there is a godly alternative to living according to the law of the flesh. So first of all, I want to show you that in verse number 1, that when Jesus Christ has delivered us from this body of death, it says there is therefore now no condemnation. There is no condemnation. I'll say it again. There is no condemnation. How do you know if you as a believer are hearing from the Holy Spirit or you're hearing from a demonic spirit? It has a lot to do with the nature of the speech. And that is this. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have asked him to forgive you of your sins, to be the Lord of your life, and you, like we talked about in chapter 7, you will to do good, you long to do good. It's in your innermost being. It is your delight to walk after the things of God. The devil will come with condemnation. The Holy Spirit will come with conviction. So how do you know which one is which? Conviction will lead you to repentance, where condemnation will lead you to hopelessness, despair, and discouragement. You see, the devil loves to entice and to tempt. And when we give into that temptation, when we give into the law of the flesh, the law of sin and death, the first thing that he wants to do is then he wants to follow that up and beat you up and say, you worthless human being, God doesn't even love you. There's no hope for you. And the next thing you know, you are carrying around this load of discouragement, this burden you were never intended to carry around. You see, the devil will betray you in a heartbeat. Jesus said he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. So condemnation is from the devil. It leads you to a condition of hopelessness, isolation, discouragement. But the Holy Spirit does not condemn. For those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no... See, it all changes when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn back to John 3:16, I I don't want to make like there is no such thing as condemnation. It's just that condemnation has no place in the life of the believer. John chapter 3, verse number 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's verse number 17. Listen to verse number 18. "He who believes in him," that is in Jesus, "is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the impotence of condemnation is due to the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. But if you have not asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, be your Savior, be your deliverer, then the power and the weight, the effectiveness of condemnation is still in full force. There are people who are living in a hopeless situation, but it's not because there isn't hope available. They just don't know the God of all hope. The Bible identifies believers as the prisoners of hope. And hope is not wishful thinking. It's a confident expectancy of the things that we have in God. So as long as there is breath in your lungs, there is still hope that you are going to be able to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. I encourage you to do that sooner rather than later. So the Holy Spirit points you to Jesus, who can forgive you of your sins and empower you. Listen, a lot of people only focus on the forgiveness of sins, but the Holy Spirit empowers us to do things that we could never do on our own. He empowers you to live the life that God wants us to live. He empowers you to be a witness wherever you go. He empowers you with the character that people are going to long to have in their life, the fruit of the Spirit. He empowers you with the gifts of the Spirit to do things that you have no natural ability to be able to accomplish. The Holy Spirit brings you into a greater understanding and awareness of the Word of God. And so we want the Holy Spirit to operate in our life. What Paul says is because Jesus has come in and delivered from this body of death, that the Holy Spirit has come in and now there is no condemnation. It doesn't mean that there won't ever be conviction whenever we mess up, but we will never get to that place of hopelessness and discouragement. So that's the first thing, to those who are in Christ Jesus. The second thing it says here is who do not walk according to the flesh. Walk has to do with your lifestyle, with your lifestyle. There are certain manners of behavior, and I don't refer to them as a lifestyle. I refer to them as a death style. Death means separation. A lot of times people think death means finality. It can be that, but the ultimate definition of death is to be separated. And so we do not want that. We don't want the condemnation. We want to not walk after the flesh, but to look at the third option, and that is to walk according to the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit. So life after deliverance means that I don't operate with condemnation and hopelessness in my life. Let's not be the people who are guilty of shooting our wounded. Let's not be the people who pile on people who have already messed up. We're not there. It takes a special person to be able to minister to a person who has fallen and minister in a spirit of conviction, not condemnation. Okay? And so there's some work on the fallen person's part to repent, and there is a responsibility that we as believers have, and that is to work on restoration in the spirit of love. Galatians chapter 6 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So it takes a person operating in the spirit of gentleness in order to be effective in restoring a person who has had a stumble in their walk with God. Okay? Now, if we walk in the Spirit, we're going to be very effective for God. So we've got to make sure that the Spirit of God is ruling and reigning in our life so that we do not make a habitual practice of living, trying to satisfy the carnal nature and the lusts of this life. Instead, we are living each and every day, every decision of the day, endeavoring to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ by walking in the Spirit of the living God. Okay? There's no condemnation for believers. Believers do not walk in a lifestyle according to the flesh. They walk according to the Spirit. Now, in verse number 2 of chapter 8, it says this: "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So this is where the deliverance takes place. Jesus Christ comes in. "Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And my Bible even has an exclamation point there. Verse number 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." I did a search of the book of Romans to find the different laws that are referenced. And so let me just go over a number of these. There's 8 different laws that I found mentioned in the book of Romans. It's in Romans chapter 3, verse number 27. There is the law of works contrasted with the law of faith. The law of works contrasted with the law of faith. In Romans chapter 7 and verse number 2, most of these laws are referred to in Romans chapter 7 and 8. But there is, in verse number 2, it talks about the law of covenant, a wife being in covenant with her husband. And verse number 22 is the law of God. In verse number 23, it talks about the law of my mind versus the law of sin. In verse number 25, it talks about the law of God versus the law of sin. And in chapter 8, verse number 2, it contrasts the law of the Spirit of life versus the law of sin and death. In chapter 8, verse number 7, it talks once again about the law of God. And in chapter 9, verse number 31, it talks about the law of righteousness. And so the law of faith trumps the law of works. The law of God trumps the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life trumps sin and death. And the law of righteousness is there. And so you and I, we need to understand exactly what is going on. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." I will remember years ago, and by years I probably mean decades, I was praying about a portion in Scripture, and God communicated with me about jurisdiction. You see, if you are a police officer, you have a jurisdiction, but if you leave that municipality, then your jurisdiction, your power, your authority has been left behind. A judge may have jurisdiction in one area, but not have jurisdiction in another area. I am pastor of Merit Assembly of God. I have authority that has been given to me. by the district, by the congregation, and by the Constitution and bylaws of Merit Assembly of God. But just because I'm the pastor of Merit Assembly of God doesn't mean that I can walk into any other church and just immediately assume that the jurisdiction I have at 165 North Grove Street is going to carry over to there, unless someone has authorized me to operate with spiritual authority at that location. And so what we see in chapter 8, verse number 2, is a change of jurisdiction. Change of jurisdiction because we are in Christ Jesus. So the law of sin and death has, their jurisdiction has been revoked over our lives. Still may be working in other people's lives, but it doesn't have to work in our life. So in our life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has liberated us, delivered us, made us free from the law of sin and death. Now, I don't know about you, but I really enjoy living with the law of God operating in my life. I want God's declaration to be the voice of authority in my life. I am very thankful for the law of covenant. You see, I have found living in covenant is better than living with a disposable relationship, shall we say. I tell people at our church, look, God is not looking for a one-night stand with you. He is not looking for a five-minute stand with you at an altar of repentance. He is looking for a lifestyle of covenant with you so that you can be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I am grateful that we are not working to earn our way to heaven the way that many people view their relationship with God and their place in eternity. But because of the faith that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not spiritually lazy. I work because of my faith to try and reach as many people as I possibly can. So I find that to be a greater thing. We talked earlier broadcast about the law of our mind should triumph over the law of sin. And in chapter 9, verse number 31, that the law of righteousness that comes into our life because of Jesus Christ ought to triumph over the law of unrighteousness, of sin, of death. That's what the life of the delivered should look like. It looks like that thing that used to have the victory over you, but now because of the work that Jesus has done inside of you, your posture towards that has changed. No longer are you in bondage to those things. Listen, if you are listening to my voice right now and you are living under the weight of condemnation because of some of the things that you have done, let me be the voice of hope for you today. And that is, there are some people in the Bible that did some horrific things and they found forgiveness at the altar of grace. They found forgiveness in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But they didn't continue to live the way that they used to live. They lived an entirely different life. We're going to talk about that in some of the upcoming broadcasts next week. But I want you to know, there's got to be a distinction in the way that we live. You do not live with the same addictions, the same struggles that you had before you came to Jesus. You just don't. There's a different way to live, and that's when Jesus is living in your heart. The Holy Spirit comes along, and he said, I'm going to provide the direction from here. I'm going to lead you, and this spiritual guidance will be in tune with the Word of God. The spiritual guidance is going to be in your best interest. It's going to be powerful, not weak. It's going to be victorious and not defeatist. Okay? And so I want you to understand today that you really are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I remember the first time I heard about that was at a concert when I was a teenager, a Christian concert, and the person that was singing said that that concept of being a new creation in Christ Jesus meant that you were a new species of being that had never existed before. You might look like the same old you. I have the physical characteristics that I have always had. at the funeral that we had last Saturday, one of the granddaughters made a reference and said to the grandfather that we were celebrating their life, said, "Grandpa," or "Poppy," I think is what they said, "why are your ears so wrinkled?" And his response was, "Well, you know, I guess I forgot to iron them this morning. I guess I forgot to iron out the wrinkles this morning." You know, you might have the same look on the outside, but on the inside, you're completely different. A caterpillar and a butterfly may be the exact same living entity before, but their nature and their purpose and their means of travel and their physical appearance, it's all completely different. And I want you to know today that if you're living with the weight of sin upon you, turn to Jesus. You will find that he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. He's not looking to beat you down. He is looking to save you. God didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And I don't remember who it was that said that, but I was like, wow, that is a really good thing. You are with Jesus on the throne in your life. You are going to walk according to the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and you're going to see victories where you used to see defeats. You're going to see victory over temptation. God bless you. You have a great weekend, and we will see you Monday right
here
on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Every mountain I face, every step of this race.